From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back. It's Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network, the outdoors radio show heard all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com. Brought to you in part by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral out of Osseo, Michigan. One of our great sponsors has been on the show with us going into our third year. Also, Darton Archery of Hale, Michigan, celebrating 65 years of archery products. Great bows, great crossbows, like the new Rebel 135SS. Great, compact, great crossbow for the blind hunter. You know, if you're hunting from a deer blind on the ground, this is perfect. Perfect design and balance of a crossbow. And also HHA Sports. They have some great single pin sights as well. Been checking them out, getting ready to throw on my new Darton bow, and that will be the setup. I've never really used the single pin. Been checking out the HHA, the optimizer, and I'm sold. I'm sold because I can direct my yardage right there on the fly. And all fine sponsors here at wildmichiganradio.com on our website. But first, we are getting back into this segment. We talk a little bit about predator hunting with our friend Mike Perkins from Timber Freak Game Calls. He produces some really nice-looking predator calls, but I've yet to get out and do it myself. The other day, I got an email with a photograph of a gentleman holding up this, what looks to be, and I'm just going to say this before we get to our next guest, it's very wolf-like because it was very black in color, but it was on the Michigan Buck Poll Facebook page, and a buddy of mine with the caption says, "Does somebody want to tell this guy he just shot a wolf?" Well, we hunted this guy down. His name is Dan Black. Bath, Michigan, correct?
Yes.
Okay, from Bath, a little town outside of Lansing where I live, literally minutes away from where I grew up. And let's, I'm going to give you the comment that I made, and I made this to you because it's quite funny. I said, nobody, I don't care who you are, is that dumb to post a picture of themselves with a wolf and say it's a coyote, okay? Nobody. Dan, welcome to the show, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Duran.
Not at all, man. And I have to thank my buddy Steve Gruber for putting me in contact with you. Of course, Steve from Wolf Creek Productions does the Steve Gruber Show here on the Michigan Talk Network. Last week, he was on the phone. He's like, no, we're going to put him in contact with Duran Martinez. I'm like, who? What are you talking about? So it's kind of funny because I had just been talking about this picture of you with this coyote. And initially, look, I'll be honest with you, it screams wolf. It even looks like what people are calling the coy wolf, that hybrid. But exactly what is it that you took?
It's a 100% pure Michigan coyote. What it is, it's called a melanistic coyote, and you know there's other animals that are melanistic also. It's a gene mutation. Similar to what happens to animals like when they're albino. What melanistic animals are, they're black instead of albino, which is white. Just a gene mutation that makes them very rare, and they're rare, but this ain't the only one in Michigan.
Sure. Well, when we had the young gentleman's father on the show, who shot the albino whitetail, which caused so much uproar. It's like, you just want to take these people and say, sit them down. And like you said, this is a genetic mutation. It happens in people. It happens in wildlife more so. But it's not. You know what? If they had to kill that deer, you wouldn't have seen it. You'd had nothing to complain about.
Yeah, so, you're exactly right.
So here's the thing. This goes on Michigan Buck Poll on their Facebook page, and now the outcrying comes from the Facebook biologists. Tell me how fast this blew up on you.
Well, it was a matter of probably about 24 hours. I was visited by DNR and a conservation detective. And, you know, it was shared over 2,000 times within three days. And, you know, it's amazing how everybody just believes themselves that this is a wolf. And, you know, instead of just getting on there and asking, hey, Dan Black, did you shoot a wolf, or, you know, what is this? And then, and even on a couple of my first initial comments, I explained what it was, and, you know, told everybody I respect these animals, and the more I hunt them, the more I respect them. You know, they're a very hard creature to get, and enough said about that. It's a hard animal to hunt, and you can't help but to respect them, because they're very smart. They, you know, instead of coming right at you in the wind, they'll circle around you and come up behind you, and you're done. They're gone.
Sure. Speaking with Dan Black, Bath, Michigan resident here, who has been the subject of a lot of conversation, you know, off air, not quite on the radio. I know you did Steve's show, and I appreciate you doing Wild Michigan here. And also with Facebook, one of the issues is people just see the initial comments, and they don't tend to read through everything. We put that picture of you holding that coyote, and you provided us with a better picture, which we put down further, and still there was somebody said, well, let me see the feet. And here's my question. Are feet going to define an animal? No.
No, it's not. But, you know, he does have a good comment on that, because, you know, the feet compared to a wolf,
a
coyote, you're a lot different. But, you know, are you going to notice that in a picture? No. So it's just crazy how close-minded some people can be.
Tell me this. When you get that knock on the door, you have the DNR detective and a CO at your house. How does that go? What happened with that? Because you had to at some point expect it, but still be surprised.
Yeah, well, to tell you the truth, I just pulled in from work, and I was sitting there on my phone, and I knew somebody was coming over for some reason. Sure enough, I seen a DNR truck pull in, another truck behind him, and I jumped out, you know, and I knew to have my hands clear. I didn't want to get shot or nothing.
Sure.
So I invited them in, you know. They're just doing their job. They're real nice, very respectful gentlemen, you know, and their first words were, well, you know why we're here? And I says, yeah, I do. And, you know, I showed them a couple other pictures of it that show it from the side and stuff, which, you know, the reason they're not on the internet is because, you know, a lot of my family are in it. My son is in it. And kind of learned my lesson real fast about putting pictures on the internet.
So,
you know, they took that. I actually emailed them to the DNR detective, and you know, we just went over everything. I gave them everything they asked for. They wanted to know where I got it, and you know, that was one thing I really kind of didn't really want to necessarily pinpoint, because I've just learned from the past. You start telling people where you get your, you know, get your animals or your you know, your morel mushrooms, and you know, you start finding them in there. Point being, I told a couple guys, bragged about all the mushrooms I got. Next day, one of my buddies parked right there in the same spot. So, you know, I've just learned my lesson about that. But, you know, I just made sure that it was going to be between us, and I told them exactly where it was from. What, you know, you want to go look at where it was? There's probably still blood on there. And they said, no, that's fine. But, you know, they did want, so they was wondering about some blood left over, and I says, because the animal's already at the taxidermist.
Sure.
Wildlife Reflections. Mark Ash is a real good guy and does great work. So, you know, I told him, hey, you guys go check it out if you want. I think there's probably still some blood on my tailgate. We can go.
Okay. Hang on. Hate to do this to you, Dan. We're going to come back in another segment. Speak with Dan Black here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. From Duran Martinez, and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host, WildMichiganRadio.com, brought to you in part by HHA Sports Optimizer, Kingpin Light, man. Looking forward to shooting the new single pin Optimizer Kingpin Light. They got some great products. HHASports.com. Check them out. A link on our front page of our website, WildMichiganRadio.com. Speaking with Dan Black, the gentleman who harvested the melanistic coyote, black coyote, which has drawn so much attention from not only the state but the country, because the initial picture, Dan, we it looked like a wolf, but confirmed to be a coyote. Now let's pick up where we left off in the last segment. There was you had taken over to our good friend Mark Ash at Wildlife Reflection Taxidermy there in DeWitt, but you know there's still blood on the tailgate, and they were asking you questions about the coyote.
Yeah, I just, you know, basically said if you want some DNA off it, there's still some blood on the tailgate of my truck. And, you know, what the detective said was, well, I can guarantee that that's a coyote from the pictures I've seen. And, but, you know, he said, he's got a lot of people breathing down his back, you know, wanting to figure out exactly what this is. And he says, just save a trip out here if he comes back without one, might as well get one. So he took some blood off the tailgate. He said they're probably never going to have to run it, but in case they do, they got it. And, you know, I showed him the rifle I shot it with, everything else, and, you know, they were on their way. They ended up going to Mark Ash's place and looking at it. And, you know, and Mark actually told him a lot of information about the animal, too. You know, it's just a melanistic coyote. It's a black coyote. It's also known as a swamp coyote. You know, there's a lot of them out there.
Now, not asking for information as to where you took it. I know that rule. I'm speaking with Dan Black from Bath, Michigan. But what was your setup? How did you call this coyote in?
Well, I just had a little game call, electric caller, and a mojo critter, basically a little decoy, and I just played a dying rabbit for a while, sat back and waited. You know, a lot of people say that, you know, if you don't see a coyote in 15 minutes, then get up and move. And I couldn't deny that more, because most of the coyotes I see is within 45 minutes to an hour of sitting and waiting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about exactly what this was. About an hour after waiting, he come running in, and you know, they're real hard to get to stop and get a good shot on, so I had to shoot him on a run. Made a couple good shots and got him down. Was very happy. I knew exactly what it was when it come in. I didn't think that a wolf come underneath me or nothing. I didn't think that it was a hybrid or a German Shepherd or the neighbor's dog. You know, I knew exactly what it was. I'd actually seen this animal in the spring, which I don't know if it was the same black coyote, but I did see a black coyote in Bath, and it kind of got me into hunting coyotes. I was memorized by seeing it. I actually got out of the vehicle and ran to the field, the edge of the field, and was watching it. And, you know, my girlfriend or friend was like, "What are you doing?" And I said, that's a black coyote. I can't believe what I just saw. And it's crazy because I shot that on a Monday. Well, that Sunday I bought a Predator magazine that explained about the black coyotes. A guy had taken one in Missouri. And, you know, in that magazine it says it's like winning the lottery.
Sure.
And I went back to work, and I telling all my buddies that Monday, "Hey, man, remember me telling you about that black coyote I saw in Bath?" I said, "You know, it's like the great white buffalo. I can't believe I saw it. Now I got to go hunt that thing. I got to get permission from the landowner I saw it on." And all my buddies are like, yeah, that's cool. So, well, that night I ended up hunting where I usually hunt, and just luck have it, a black coyote come in and gave me a shot. So I got real lucky.
Dan Black is our guest here. You can check all of this story out at our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Pick up the podcast on there. Also, we've got some new gear on there for sale, but this has been a fun story so far. Now, you've posted the picture. It's been on the Michigan Buck Poll Facebook page, and the comments are starting to come in. Now, when we posted that picture, instantly, first person on there makes this offhanded negative comment. Needless to say, they've been banned from our page forever because they clearly don't have a clue about hunting. And you got a lot of that same kind of flack from people, you know, people that instantly gain a spine when they touch a keyboard.
Yes. Yeah, it's, you know, I call them keyboard warriors. It just seems like they don't have nothing better to do than be real mean on the internet. You know, I could think of 100 other words to call them, but I'm not going to, and I don't waste my time with responding to them.
Sure.
Or, you know, I don't lose no sleep over any of their comments. Don't get me wrong, I'm a CPL holder, and I've been definitely strapped and, you know, keeping the hammer cocked, and it's crazy that you even have to do that for doing something that's legal and something that a lot of people enjoy doing.
Yeah, you know, it's you know, the term internet trolls is out there, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're trolling for any kind of conflict and controversy that they can cause. Look, read the comments. You know, exactly what I told the person, because within our post, we said, you know, we're going to have Dan Black on to talk about this black coyote that he took, and also going to talk to my friend Chaz Thompson about fundraising for the USA ice fishing team. And instantly, the negative comment was, oh, great, you know, raise money for, you know, a thrill killer or something like that. I'm like, clearly you don't read. You know, but it is our job to bring you on as guests, to bring the real story. And that's why I appreciate you joining us here, because, look, I never in my lifetime probably would have given thought to a melanistic or a black coyote ever in my life. But now that I've seen it, it's brought it to the forefront, much like the albino deer. We get to see these things because of hunters like yourself, you know, and others that get to share these stories here. And now I am more educated and less likely to jump to any conclusions about something.
Yeah. Yep. And that's why I'm thankful for you to have me on here to, you know, maybe open some eyes to some of them closed-minded people.
Well, that's what we hope to do is, you know, I've learned a ton on this show over the past 8.5 years that we've done it. We've made a lot of friends like you yourself. You know, and we appreciate it. Now, Wildlife Reflection Taxidermy, DeWitt, Mark Esch, they've got the pelt and everything else. Is it going to be a full body mount? Please say yes.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got a lot of respect for any animal I take, and, you know, this one definitely deserved it. And, you know, I'm thinking even incorporating something pretty cool in it. You know, I see a lot of them predator, mounts that have, maybe it's chasing a rabbit or something, but we're going to do something like that. And then when my 3-year-old son, he gets his first rabbit or whatever it is, squirrel, we're going to incorporate that in the mount.
Very good. Dan Black, Bath, Michigan, appreciate you joining us here. Again, our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Pick up the gear, pick up the podcast, pick it all up. We hope to see you on there. Check us out. wildmichiganradio.com on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hey, this is Mark Zona from Zona's Awesome Fishing Show, and you're listening to my guy, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
I'm on a first-name basis at the tackle shop. I got a charge account running up nonstop.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network. All over the Great Lakes State, very good to have you along here. And we are going to be talking about some fishing, ice fishing. We talked a little bit with our good friend Chaz Thompson, who's going to be heading over to Finland to represent the United States of America ice team. And, you know, hopefully, you know, do well and bring back a world championship for the United States in the World Ice Fishing Tournament. Going to be a big time. And a lot of my friends going over there. So be looking forward to having them back on the show after that. But right now we're going to speak with Chris Munchau from AquaView. Chris, welcome back to the show. It's been a little while, but ice fishing in full effect. And, man, with these sub-zero temps, we're not losing any ice right now.
Yeah, thanks, Duran. Thanks for having me on today again. Good to be back on with you. And, yeah, we had that little bit of a warm-up there for a while, but it didn't seem to affect too much. And now this cool down again, and I'm not sure how it is where you are, but in our area, the lack of snow has greatly helped the ice all season long. So we've got good travel conditions on the ice and good hard ice for the majority of the area.
Now, some of the Chris, some of our smaller lakes, we've got some good ice. Some of the bigger ones, man, I'm not trusting them because we've had some snow here. And you know what that does? That insulates the ice and it doesn't get to freeze as much. But we've had some sub-zero, wind chills and some single-digit temps. So it's okay, but unlike big bodies of water like the Saginaw Bay, I'm not going out too far. That's just me personally, but I'll stick to my small inland lakes like I'm going to be doing this weekend. Now, you guys at AquaView, you have some great underwater cameras. I've got one. I love it. Love seeing the action under the water. I mean, my flasher's great, don't get me wrong. But when I can see the action, when I can change tactics, when I see something isn't working, I see the fish right in front of it and it's not working, then I can change things. That really helps a lot.
Yeah, the underwater cameras, you know, they're such a great learning tool in many different situations, whether it's just learning what you're seeing under the water as far as comparing it to what your electronics are showing. And as you just pointed out, the fish behavior, you can learn so much by them, so much about your presentation. You can fine-tune things a little bit. Some days it doesn't matter. Some days you can have anything down there and the fish will come in and snap it up. But as you know, in the hard water season, fish seem to be a little more finicky more often, and you can really fine-tune things, figure out what's working, and a lot quicker because you can see how the fish react.
You know, I told you in a previous interview, I've got the AV Micro 2, and we were fishing with it, and I had a big pike coming in. And, you know, he wasn't reacting as like I thought. He would come right up and then kind of go away, come right up to the bait and then go away. Well, I switched out my minnow. I put a livelier minnow on there, and then it came right back up, and in it went, and gone went my line. And after about a minute fight, snap goes my line. But it was still to physically see what you're doing wrong or what you could do better, change that whole game.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and as you pointed out, some days they want the real lively presentation. I've seen plenty of instances where actually too lively of a minnow, especially with the big predators, actually will turn them off. They're neutral enough that they'll come in and they'll nip at it, but as they do, the minnow will actually run away from the predator, and eventually they'll just leave. They'll leave town, and in some cases you want to less active minnow, but the majority of the time, yeah, if your minnow is not active down there, you're going to miss strikes. And we really see that a lot when we put cameras. We'll set our micros up on tip-ups, so actually, you know, out in the distance from where our main setup is. And if that minnow isn't lively, you know, you can walk around and you can use the micro, you can use your underwater camera to check it, and if it need be, switch it out to a more lively one. And I've, for many years, I've found that the livelier the minnow, the more strikes you're going to get throughout the day.
Absolutely. Speaking with Chris Munchau from AquaView, new product, BioLoom. Pretty much self-explanatory with the name to me, but an underwater light attractant that brings in bait fish because it brings in their food. So the food we use for the bigger fish is coming in to collect their food.
Yeah, exactly. The BioLoom, you know, it's going to cast a very bright light over a pretty large area, and it's going to, you know, more or less get the ecosystem going. So it's going to bring in your smaller, your plankton, and anything that's in the water, which of course is going to bring in some of the, you know, the fish that are going to feed on that, your minnow life, and then that's going to bring in your bigger fish as well. And it's a really interesting tool. It's a tool that in many locations, including where we're at, is not lawful, so you have to check your regulations on it. But we're having some great success with our anglers in Wisconsin and the Dakota area where you can use these, and you know, light underwater lighting has been around for quite some time, so there's a lot of things to learn about it, and that's kind of the feedback we're getting from the anglers is they're learning on the fly how to use this thing and how to use it most effectively.
Now, something you had mentioned to me off air was fishing the edge of it. So basically, you have the smaller plankton and food types that the bait fish are eating, but you know, maybe fishing the outside edge, acting as something being attracted to the light but still kind of straggling, might be a good tactic.
Yeah, it's such a bright light, and you can control the intensity on it a little bit, but. But yeah, what anglers are finding are oftentimes the fish that they're targeting are holding up on the outer edge. So, in other words, you're not going to set the light directly below you. You're going to actually set it to a distance, and you have to experiment a little bit. And if there's a lack of snow cover on the ice, you can see how far you need to be. But yeah, you're going to fish the edge of it or the halo. And that's where the bigger fish, that's where the target fish are going to come in, and they're going to kind of hold up there because going all the way to the light isn't necessarily what they want to do.
What is the speak with Chris Munchow from AquaView? A link on our product sponsors page, wildmichiganradio.com. What type of source is this BioLume taking its energy from?
Well, you're gonna use a battery for it. Guys are using the smaller tractor batteries, or you can run it off the same battery that your sonar or your underwater camera are running off of. So just your 12-volt, 7 to 9 amp battery. But it does draw a little bit more. So the guys that are using them and using them often are actually using a different 12-volt power source. So really, you can use anything there. Again, for ice fishing, it's all about portability and stuff. So. The smaller batteries that are a little easier to carry around are what guys are preferring.
Now, this is I'm looking at your specs on here, a five-sided LED fishing light. It's got the full circle of coverage, and you're using LEDs in this.
Yep. It's LED lighting, and it's very bright. You know, we actually got them. It's kind of a mid-season release for us. The release on them was essentially in early December. When we did get them in and started to put them out there, and we had them at the St. Paul Ice Show, and they're very bright. You know, you don't even want to look at it; it's that bright. So it really varies depending on your water source and your water clarity on how you set it as well. I probably should have mentioned that earlier, guys. On the Ultra Gin Clear Lakes, these LEDs are bright enough that they're only putting them down a short distance in the water column versus the more stained bodies of water, then they're lowering them down a little bit more, somewhere in the top 40% of the water column.
So, again, this is BioLume. You can find it on our link at wildmichiganradio.com. Chris Munchow, our guest from AquaView. And, again, wherever you listen, which is funny because we have such a broad listener base. I was looking at it the other day. And what really caught me funny is so far this week, California is the number two place for picking up our show. No, I don't get it, but I'll take it. I'll take it. Chris Munchow, AquaView, appreciate you joining us. Check out the new BioLume. You can hit up their link, aquaview.com, from our website, wildmichiganradio.com.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host. What a fun day today, man. Fun day. Spoke with our friend Chaz Thompson about ice fishing. Chaz is part of the USA ice fishing team, heading off to Finland, doing some fundraisers over there at Schmoe's Brewery in Grand Rapids. Check out our website. You can find out how to get in touch with Chaz at the miiceguys.com page. Also spoke with Stephanie Rustem from Gourmet Gone Wild, a new way to introduce wild game to new folks. Also Dan Black, the gentleman who shot the color phase coyote that has brought so many people into an uproar because of the photo, thinking it was a wolf. As I told Dan, as I've told everybody else, I don't know of anyone that dumb that would shoot a wolf and try and claim it's a coyote and post it to Facebook. He did have the DNR come out. He did, was confirmed as a coyote, and now it's at Wildlife Reflection Taxidermy with our friend Mark Esch. So, there's nothing to complain about here, okay? Nothing to complain about. You can see all of that photo and get all these links from our website, wildmichiganradio.com. And it is banquet time. We are coming up to the time that we get involved with a lot of organizations. Whitetails Unlimited has their Michigan Deer Camp coming up on February 14th, which we will be at. We have a table for that. We have a table of our friends being put together at the Pheasants Forever chapter of the Ingham County, number 467. Their banquet and fundraiser is coming up on March 6th, and my good buddy Jeff Davis is joining us right now. He is on that board and a member of the PF 467. Jeff, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, thanks, Duran. Glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you here. Look, this is one of the biggest, probably the biggest banquet I attend all year. This year I will be gone, but we're sending a delegates, if you will, to the event. But this is probably the biggest banquet that the Eagle Eye Banquet Facility in Bath holds every year.
Yeah, I think so too, Duran. It's a big one for sure.
Now, you guys have guns galore and prints and games and so much. What are some of the offerings that you're going to be taking to this event?
Well, we continue our tradition of trying to make it bigger and better. This year we'll have 220 plus guns there at the banquet, the most we've ever had, and more than any other banquet in the area. Also, we'll be giving away a four-wheel drive quad runner. We'll be giving away three duck boats, various hunting and fishing trips, archery equipment, fishing equipment, sculptures, electronics, food preparation equipment. Money, yes, money, and, of course, world-class wildlife artwork. It's our 22nd anniversary, and we'll have a chapter gun that people can buy tickets on. They don't have to be present to win. That's going to be this year a Franchi Legend over and under 12 gauge.
See, and look, I've been to these banquets. The prizes are quality. The food is quality because Chef Dan Nelson prepares it. And the event center, the Eagle Eye Banquet Facility, is top-notch. And for the next month and a half, I will be there every weekend with banquets and supporting the outdoors. And Ingham County Chapter, number 467, their website is pf467.org. You guys are the largest chapter in the country for Pheasants Forever?
Correct. In fact, last weekend they had Pheasants Forever State Council meeting, which is a meeting of all the representatives from all the chapters in the state, and we were recognized with five awards, one of which was total membership achievement. We are the largest chapter of Pheasants Forever, period, in terms of number of members. Also, we were given a food plot achievement award, the No Child Left Indoors Youth Outreach Award for last year, and also the Legislative Action Fund, which is a donation the chapter makes to support legislation to promote conserving wildlife habitat across the country, and a big picture award, and I don't honestly remember exactly what that entails, but we won five awards, so we did good.
You know, and I feel bad because Charles Stoudemire, I was supposed to attend that banquet with my daughter, Erin. Mm-hmm. Both of us not feeling well, was unable to witness this firsthand, but I know, what you guys do. There's a lot of money raised, but there's a lot of money that goes into habitat as well.
Absolutely. That's Pheasants Forever's mission, if you were to look on the website of National, is the Wildlife Habitat Organization is how it labels itself. And the kind of the cool thing about it is, other than the membership dollars that people pay, those go to National, support their function, but all the other dollars are controlled by the local chapters, and they can spend them in any way they see fit that conforms with, PF's national policies. So we do well in that area. So we're very strong, and we're looking to become bigger and better this year.
You know, and I know that you've been involved with some green space areas around some of the General Motors plants, some of these newer plants here in southern Michigan, that people, you know, you drive by, you see it, but they don't realize that there's actually a purpose to some of the outlying areas.
Absolutely, Duran. Correct.
So, how much have you guys planted around some of those spots that they, you know, like the new GM plants?
I am not positive, right, strictly in the, as far as the General Motors plants areas go, but I know last year with our seed distribution to our membership, we have planted over 2,000 acres last year. So,
and without habitat, pheasants, we know, don't do so well. We've seen that decline in Michigan over the years. When I was a kid, was this like the tail end of the heyday for Michigan pheasant? And then they had the put and take effort, which it was a noble effort, but it was kind of bad.
Right. No, I remember hunting that as well in my younger days. And matter of fact, we have our hunter safety classes that we sponsor at the Glasson Center in the Ingham Conservation District grounds. And next door, the building next door to that is where they used to pen raise birds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a relic now. But
yeah, but it's. Yeah. Go ahead, Jay.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Durant.
Please. Oh no, I'm just saying it's nice to have had those memories, but it's really nice to watch wild pheasants come up out of natural habitat, which is kind of rare. And when you see them here in Michigan, it's kind of that feeling. It's like, oh gosh, look at that. There's a pheasant, like a live pheasant, free range. You know, nothing against our clubs. God love them, because without some of these clubs, we wouldn't have any pheasant hunting. But it's just nice to see the wild birds out there.
Yeah, it's true, and it's like the old baseball movie, if you build it, they will come. If you have the habitat, the birds will propagate, and you'll have wild birds. I know of places that have CRP land and they don't, you know, they leave it alone and get paid for it, and the birds will flourish if mm-hmm. you give them a chance. So,
no, I've got some property that I've hunted with a friend of mine, and believe me, to hear those roosters cackle or to watch them fly past the deer blind, it's a blast. We've never hunted that pheasant property, but we know they're there, and and you know, sometimes they fall to predators like hawks and whatnot. I came up on a warm pheasant that had just been taken down by a hawk because I jumped the hawk on the way to the blind. But you know, clearing out those dead trees, and if you have property, making less spots for the predators to be around usually works.
Oh, sure, absolutely. Yeah, you know, you can't go out and shoot the hawks and owls and whatnot, but you can certainly lessen their habitat and create better habitat for the birds to live in. If they've got say a big field of switchgrass to winter in, and that really helps. And if they've got food available, then of course that's a component. And people can contact the Pheasants Forever biologist in the state, whose name is Bill Vanderzauwen, and he's always on tap to help people with their wildlife habitat projects. And he's a Michigan native and lives in the Grand Rapids area and mm-hmm. travels the whole state. So he's a go-getter. So we saw Bill again this past weekend at Eagle
sure.
Eye, and he's very much optimistic, and the Michigan Pheasant Restoration Initiative he's deeply involved with that. And people that have land that are interested in habitat restoration might well want to contact Bill.
Well, I'm sure they can find him through your website, pf467.org. Of course, there is a link on our events page at wildmichiganradio.com. Jeff Davis, Pheasants Forever, Chapter 467. I appreciate you joining us, man.
Hey, thanks, Duran. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Absolutely. Good to have you on. Thank you. March 6th, Eagle Eye Banquet Facility is when that will be. We'll also be at the Commemorative Bucks of Michigan fundraising event March 14th at the Eagle Eye Safari Club International Lansing Chapter, the 15th annual fundraiser and banquet going on. Two nights, Outfitters Night on the 20th and banquet and fundraiser on the 21st. We'll be at all of these. We hope you'll join us. You can find all that information on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Have a great one, everybody. We'll see you all next weekend on the Michigan Talk Network.